Amen. Peace of Christ be with you. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day. So great. One of our visions in campus ministries is to equip you to be lifelong followers of Jesus Christ. Lifelong, meaning to begin to imagine even now what it means to follow Jesus after college. And it's impossible to do that, really, without the church. That we need the church, which is why we have... We're so delighted to have these covenant partnerships, people from churches where we have a unique relationship with at Hope College that are encouragements for you even now, while you're in college, to begin to prepare having a life with the church, a multi-generational church where you're worshiping with 8-year-olds and 80-year-olds. So you're not just all traveling in a giant friends pack through life. But in a world where God is active with everyone in the church. And so we've had different pastors from churches come and preach. And today it's my delight to have Carly McShane, who is a 2017 Hope grad. And she is a campus missionary with the St. Benedict Institute in partnership with our covenant partners at St. Francis. She's a little nervous. She's never spoken to this many people. But I assured her, I promised her, that you would love her, you would listen, and you would be for her. Amen? Would you give her some love? Give her some love here. Lord, may your word be our measure. Teach us your truth through Carly. Speak your word and give us life in the name of Jesus Christ, the source of all life. And all the people said, amen.
Thanks, Trigg. Good morning, Hope. Like Trigg said, my name is Carly McShane, and I work for the St. Benedict Institute, which is a ministry of St. Francis de Sales for all of you here at Hope. So I'm on campus a lot. So if you see me, say hi. I'm also a Hope alum. And so it's odd for me to be standing up here. I used to stand over there in chapel, so I see all of you at the window. You're either trying to make a quick escape after chapel or you came in late, but it's okay. It's a good spot. We're gonna jump into our scripture this morning, but first let's just pray one more time. Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit, Father of the poor, enlighten our minds and enkindle our hearts with the flame of your love. May all we do bring you glory this day. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy, the third chapter. Paul says, I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these instructions to you so that if I am delayed, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and bulwark of the truth. Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of our religion. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's so much, I think, that we could talk about with this passage. So what I really encourage you to do is go back and read it again today. Sit with it, think about it, pray with it. But this morning, we're just going to focus on a few things. So first, I want to look at how Paul describes the church. And then I want to talk one point about the truth, which Paul calls the mystery of our religion. So first, the church. Paul gives us three images in just one verse. In verse 15, he calls the church the household of God, the pillar of truth, and the bulwark of truth. The first, the household of God. We think about this a lot, right? And we should. Immediately, that should call to mind the family. So household refers to the members of a family. When you talk about John's household, you're talking about the members of John's family. So when we talk about God's household, we're talking about the members of God's family. And Paul tells us God's family is the church. Now, in the Old Testament, the household of God would refer to Israel, God's chosen people, his children. And the Lord says to Israel, you will be my people and I will be your God. He says the same thing to us, right? You are my children and I am your father. The church is a family. The second term is pillar, more specifically, a pillar of truth. And so I think we can all picture in our minds a pillar, right? Like a Roman column or something like that. A pillar supports something. It's a strong foundation. It holds things up. Pillars are amazing images of strength and might. But I want to draw our attention actually to the Old Testament. St. Augustine, a great father of the church and bishop, says that the old is revealed in the new, and the new is concealed in the old, talking about the relationship between the old and the New Testament. So often we can understand what's going on with the church, with Jesus in the New Testament, by understanding Israel, understanding what's going on in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament enlightens how we understand the new. And actually, I was talking with a student last week, and she brought up this passage, and I was like, okay, Lord, I'm listening, because I'm supposed to speak on this next week. And she said, the pillar, right, that Paul's talking about, the pillar is like the pillar in Exodus, right? So where in the Old Testament do we hear about a pillar? And she's exactly right. In the book of Exodus, right after the Lord delivers Israel from Egyptian slavery, and right after the Passover feast is instituted, he begins to lead them through the desert to the promised land. But how does he do this? In Exodus chapter 13, we read, "The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. And they traveled by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people." So I think it's no accident that Paul refers to the church as a pillar in this letter to Timothy. In the same way that this pillar of cloud and fire guides Israel on their way to the promised land, so too the church guides us on our way to heaven, which is the true promised land. But even for Israel, the pillar is more than just a guide. It's not just saying, go this way, you know, follow me here, follow me there, right? But what does the scripture tell us? It says the Lord went before them in a pillar of cloud and fire. This is God's presence to Israel. And so Paul is telling us that the church is God's presence to us. The church is the place where God's presence dwells. The church is the new pillar of cloud and fire. The third image Paul gives us is a bulwark. Now, this one kind of struck me because it's not really in our common language. I don't know about you. I don't go around talking about bulwarks with my friends. I was like, what does this mean? So what does it mean? Bulwark is a nautical term, so it has to do with ships and sailing. And the purpose of the bulwark is to protect the sailors from waves, especially during a storm. So the bulwark would be that the sides of the ship, the sides that come up above the deck, so where everybody's working and trying to sail the ship, right? So the bulwark reduces that likelihood of being washed overboard. And it keeps you from the sea while you journey to that destination. So as the bulwark of the church, the upholder and protector of truth, the church keeps us safe from the lies of the sea, the lies of the devil, of the world, of the flesh, of our own temptations. Because the church shows us, as the bulwark of the truth, what is true, what is good, and what is beautiful. That is her mission, and that is her duty. And I love this image of the church as the pillar and bulwark of the truth, because it continues to call to mind our own journey, right? The journey of Israel through the desert to the promised land, the journey of sailors on a ship going to some destination, and our own journey through this desert, the desert of the world. It reminds us that we're going somewhere. We're going to the promised land where we will see God face to face, not veiled in a pillar of cloud, but face to face as Moses saw him on the mountain. So if the church is the pillar and bulwark of the truth, what is the truth? And I said I was just going to give you one point on the truth. But Paul tells us in our scripture this morning what the truth is. And he calls it the mystery of our religion. And even that's just worth thinking about a little bit this morning, the mystery of our religion. But what he says is this: He, Christ, was manifested in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Now, there's so much richness, again, right? The scriptures always bring us so much depth and richness. But in this little, almost hymn or creed even, if you will, there's so much there. But what grabs me this morning is one word, he. Some other translations read who, right? The truth, who, the truth, he, the truth is a person. One of my favorite thinkers and just people, I think, is Joseph Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI. And he says it this way. He says, heaven is a person. And we know this, right? Jesus tells us, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the truth. I am the way. And it reminds me of the words of our friend John, the beloved disciple. He says, beloved, we are God's children now. We are Israel, the household of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That is the promised land. It's not an idea or a place or a feeling, but seeing God in his fullness and being with him and being made like him. And the church, Paul tells us, is the gift that he gives to us, the pillar of his presence that he gives us in order to take us to the promised land, that is, to take us to himself. Let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Holy God, we adore you, you who made the sun and the moon and the stars and all things. You who made us and give us life and being. Lord, may we go from this place knowing your presence in your church, your presence with each of us this day. We pray that we may bring you glory and praise in all that we do. We pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.